Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
On Our Minds is a podcast about the teenage experience, made by teens for teens.
There's a lot on our minds, and talking about it helps.
On Our Minds Season 4 is produced by PBS NewsHour Student Reporting Labs in collaboration with KUOW's Radioactive Youth Media.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa DeMore, author of two New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of two. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. Episode 21, How Do I Hit the Reset Button for 2021? It's the new year!
Happy New Year, Rena.
I could not be more excited to see a new year.
I know, right? Have we ever been more thrilled to turn the calendar over?
Never.
Never.
Never in the history of creation, I think.
I know. What a year this was last year. My goodness.
It's like, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm so excited about vaccines. I'm so excited. I'm going to probably take a vacation at some point this year, later in the year. I cannot wait. I think everyone just wants a fresh start.
Fresh start. Begin again. Renew. Start over.
And apparently our listeners do too. We got this letter and it says, Dear Lisa, I want to get into the right mindset for the new year. I want to shake off all the negativity, both for myself and for my kids from last year. But it's just so hard. I try to stay positive. How do I get to a better state mentally when I know the start of this year won't be easy? I can't pretend anymore. Any advice for hitting the reset button? What should I make a priority for good mental health? I love this question.
It's a great one. It's a perfect one to get us going into the year.
So what do you think matters? It's like fresh slate. Let's pretend fresh slate, starting over new. How do you do this to hit the reset button?
So there is a whole area of my field called positive psychology. And there is so much we can draw from that at this particular moment. So one of the things that happened in the history of psychology is that the first 100 years, like basically from the second half of the 19th century through the first half of the 20th century, we were entirely preoccupied with what we now call like the deficit model or the illness model. Like, what's wrong with people and how do we fix it? Mm-hmm. And then mid-20th century, people are like, what if we're like looking at what's right with people? What if we stop asking, why are you ill? And instead ask people, why are you thriving? Like, what helps you thrive? And, you know, it seems so obvious in retrospect that that's a really worthy question, but it was pretty radical at the time. And so that actually, I think, is a great pivot to make as we move into 2021, right? To move away from this idea of like, okay, how do we survive? How do we survive? Into this idea of how do we thrive even while we wait for more life to come back to us, more familiar joys to come back to us? What can we do to thrive in the meantime?
I love that, more familiar joys, because how do you really stay positive, Lisa, when you know the reality, as his mother's saying, you know, the end of the pandemic is still far away?
Okay, this is such cool stuff. Like, I love this stuff. So one of the real aha moments in the world of positive psychology was to start to appreciate that negative and positive experiences and negative and positive moods don't belong on the same continuum. So what I mean is, we started out in the field thinking, oh, if people are low and down, you have to remove the problem or fix the problem, and then they will get a boost. Like, they'll move from negative to positive. And what we came to appreciate is, no, these operate independently. That negative experiences and positive experiences can actually coexist side by side, and they do all the time, and they both influence mood simultaneously. Okay, so
I hate the negative stuff. Like, I need more positive. Like, how do I get to the positive side?
Exactly. So if we really lean into this way of thinking, we stop saying, I can't feel better, I can't feel happy until the pandemic's over. Right? That's really taking that view of, like, until you remove the negative, I'm not going to feel better. Mm-hmm. And we start thinking, okay, the negative is right there. It's still right there. And my goodness, it may still be right there for several more months. But that doesn't mean we can't find ways to have a good time and enjoy ourselves. And I'll give you an example of how we talk about this in taking care of our patients and our clients, that for a long time, the treatment of depression was, okay, we got to get you out of your depression, and we're going to use therapy, we can use meds, we've got all these options. And the innovation in this, and it's like such a weird name, like we sometimes come up with like really like not useful names for things. This is like, we call it pleasure scheduling.
I know.
Like, I can't even tell teenagers, like, we need to do some pleasure scheduling. Because, of course, you can imagine. Like, you can imagine the looks
on
their
faces.
Very dirty, Lisa. Very dirty, very dirty. And so, but that's what we call it. And I actually had this conversation with a teenager. I'm like, okay, this is the term we use. It's super weird. And then I was like, can we call it, like, joy planning? She's like, no, that's weird, too. You know, so I don't know what to call it. But the idea is, and this is part of how we take care of people who are suffering from depression, to get them to stop thinking, I can't do anything fun till I feel better. And to get them to start thinking, I'm going to put stuff on my calendar that could be fun or that I can enjoy or I can look forward to. And what we find is it helps to lift their mood.
So literally what you're saying to me is, I need to make time. Is it like once a week, every day? Like, saying, this is a block of 30 minutes. It's my pleasure scheduling time.
And I'm going to do something. Come up with a better name.
That makes, I quite like this pleasure scheduling. I'm going to have to tell my husband, I'm going to be alone in my room. Pleasure scheduling.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be like, okay, this is super
weird.
I'll
be really reading a book and being alone, but yeah. There you go. So you have to make time for something that you really enjoy doing, is what you're saying.
You have to do it. And there's also, I mean, so yes, you can do it once a day, you can do it once a week, you know, and I think it'll be different scale things. So once a day, honestly, for me right now, Rena, it's my after dinner decaf coffee with really nice chocolate. Like,
ooh.
I love that. And I make a whole thing of it and I sit there. That is my daily. I can't even call it pleasure scheduling, Rena. Like, I've got to come up with something else. But that's my daily. And then...
So you do it every day, Lisa? Like, you
I do
have
a little
coffee.
One every day.
And like, how many minutes is it? Do you usually...
I don't know, 10 minutes. I mean, it's nothing huge.
But even then, 10 minutes is enough?
Well, yeah, because I look forward to it all day. And let's come back to that. But then, like, here's a big one. I live in Cleveland, as you know, and we have the Cleveland Institute of Art, and their faculty exhibition is on right now. And you can make an appointment to go see it. It's free. I'm going to do it at the end of this week. It goes through January 29th for all the locals. And I am so looking forward to it. Rena, I'm going to put on real pants and I'm going to drive in my car all by myself. I'm going alone. I'm so happy. And, you know, someone meets me there and I go in and it's, you know, very contained, very safe. And this is the part I want to get back to. I am looking forward to it. And so another cool piece of research that informs all of this is research on vacations. And what we find, and people study vacations, the joy, I can't even use the word pleasure, the joy in the vacation is relatively short-lived. What you get out of it, in addition to the fun you had on the vacation, is looking forward to it, and then also thinking back on it.
Wow.
That getting to have the memories is huge. And one thing I'm really conscious of as I'm looking forward to my little visit to look at this exhibition is I also need more mental variety. One of the challenges I'm finding is it's easy to feel bored right now.
Yeah. But what do you do? Like, how do you, like, there's not very many options, right, for people?
Well, so in terms of like putting stuff on your calendar that's fun, that's what I'm going to call it. What I would say to people is crowdsource this in your community. You know, hop online, whatever social media your community uses, and ask people, what fun things are you coming up with in the community? People are finding things, you know, little places to go for safe wine tastings or, you know, things like that. And find out what people are up to. And there's also stuff, I think, at the national level. I heard about someone who's doing a fundraiser that involves logging running miles, and it's turned into a little neighborhood competition. And so those kinds of things, that creativity has to come back to us so that we have things that we're, you know, looking forward to on our calendars and that we're doing and that bring variety. But the real take home here, Rena, is this will improve mood side by side with negative events continuing. This does not cancel out the negative events. This does not mean we're ignoring the negative events. Mm-hmm. It means we are remembering that the presence of negative doesn't have to mean the absence of positive. Oh,
that is powerful. Just because you have negative doesn't mean you can't also have positive. I love that.
Yep, absolutely.
I love that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast.
Stitch Fix sends style so good, you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. You don't have to get into your car. You don't have to go through hangers and figure out what section to find what you're looking for. It's so simple. What my stylist does is they take my wardrobe to the next level. She shows me what works for me. She helps me discover new things that I like that I wouldn't have picked up if I was browsing online or even walking through a store. As the seasons change, you want different things. And when there are big events in your life that you want to dress up for, Stitch Fix has you covered. And I also love that I've got everyday staples from Stitch Fix that feel good on, that I am constantly reaching for in my wardrobe. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/AskLisa. That's stitchfix.com/AskLisa. stitchfix.com/AskLisa.
Hey, Ask Lisa listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. L'Olivie is Jen's vegan and cruelty-free hair care line that is suitable for hair of all types and textures. And in fact, my whole family has converted over to using it. Me, my 13-year-old daughter, we're sending it to my kid at college, and my husband, who has graying hair that is not as soft as it used to be. What we love about L'Olivie is that it leaves our hair so soft, and it also smells so good. Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair now at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code ASKLISA at checkout. That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code ASKLISA. Please note that you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you.
With Mother's Day coming up, I want to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on the role of caregiver. You do everything for everyone else. Now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. OneSkin has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling younger. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's really the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that causes lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I've been using their product for the past few months, and I'm hooked. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code ASKLISA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off of oneskin.co with the code ASKLISA. After you purchase, be sure to tell them that you heard about them from us. We hope you'll support the show and tell them we sent you. Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. So let me tell you something. Like, I have been following J.Lo's Instagram feed. She has a new beauty line out. Mm-hmm. And she keeps saying something she always believes in, sort of saying this. I don't remember the exact words, but it's she wakes up in the morning and says, I am timeless. I am youthful. I am powerful. So it's something along those lines.
And it reminded me when I covered the funeral of Muhammad Ali, everyone kept talking about how he kept saying, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. And I remember growing up hearing that, like, oh, here he goes again. Here that guy goes again. But I realized at his funeral, all these people were talking about how that really helped him in his matches, in the ring, outside the ring, when he faced obstacles. Does manifestation really work? Is there research on... Why are you laughing? Is there research on manifestation?
No, there's no research on manifestation.
Why?
Because psychologists are snobs. No, because psychologists are snobs. That's why. Or certainly academic psychologists are snobs. So no, I know manifesting is increasingly being widely discussed. And so here's the reality. The academic psychologist in me is like looking down my nose like, oh my goodness, right? Like, we don't study things like manifesting. Okay, the rest of me is like, oh, hello, academic psychologist. We totally believe in manifesting in psychology. We just call it something else. We have our own terminology for it. So what we call it is something like self-talk.
Mm.
And we're interested in self-talk. And basically, it's like our running narratives about who we are and what our lives are like. And they're really powerful. So, yeah, totally powerful. But this is like this like really well-worn path in academic psychology, which is if we didn't make it up, we have no respect for it. And this totally happened with the mind-body connection. You know, sort of in the 60s
yes.
and 70s, there was all of this emerging stuff, you know, certainly from around the world and then coming out of California. And I'm not proud of this as an academic psychologist, but for decades we were like, no, that's not, you know, that's not science, right? And then, of course, it all turns out to be true. And it all turns out to be really well established by research.
So what do you mean by like mind-body connection and these manifestations? Like, what does the research say? Does it work?
So mind-body connection, which is different from manifestation, I took us a little long around the bend, but mind-body connection is basically that what's going on for us physically powerfully drives our mental state. So, I mean, it's so accepted and so obvious now, but, you know, things like getting a good night's sleep, and I think now all of the work around gut health has become really powerful and interesting. So, you know, that idea that, you know, you can't feel well mentally if you don't feel well physically, and then, you know, I mean, just really cultivating and nourishing that. Okay. But manifestation, which we call self-talk, is basically thinking about the kind of the running internal monologues we have about our lives and how things are going.
Like what you say to yourself, what you believe.
Yeah. And again, usually when we look at the trajectory of how we come to understand these things in psychology, we typically start in what we call pathology, like where it's not working. And then we kind of get more interested in where it is working. So in pathology, in depression and anxiety, people's running internal monologues tend to be pretty negative, right? Like, oh, see, I always mess things up, or oh, see, I can't handle anything, or oh, see, nothing ever goes my way. So it's interesting because it's almost like negative manifesting, you know, sort of deciding it's going to be like this and I'm just going to name it. And what you're describing is positive self-talk or positive manifesting, which is deciding, having an internal monologue. So if we go to Muhammad Ali, of like, I'm the greatest, right? Which is obviously quite arrogant. He happened to be able to back it up.
Yeah. You know,
not everyone can.
Yeah.
But where positive self-talk really helps is, first of all, if it's accurate. So it does have to be accurate. So for Ali in his, you know, in what he did, it did in fact turn out to be accurate. It's not going to help someone who still has a lot of room to grow in their skills to be like, I'm the greatest, right? So you can't, it has to be in line with reality. But what's cool, and this is where, you know, J-Lo's approach and Muhammad Ali's approach is, the self-talk, how we speak to ourselves, is step one in a really powerful chain of events. So when Muhammad Ali says, I'm the greatest, and he boosts his confidence like that, or J-Lo, what's hers? What did she say?
You know, I don't remember the exact words, but something about I am timeless, I am youthful, I'm powerful. Something along those lines. I don't remember her exact words, but essentially manifesting what she believes in herself, right?
Okay. So like a personal pep talk, right? So they start the day with that. And then what it does is it sets them on a course of behavior and activity. So when, let's imagine J-Lo's having a hard day, and something's getting in her way. And then she reminds herself, oh, I'm powerful. And she summons internal energy to manage that problem because she's reminded herself that she's powerful. So now she's managed the problem, which actually reinforces her sense of herself as someone who's powerful. Mm-hmm. And her day is going better. Mm-hmm. And it really starts to throw itself into high relief if we consider the opposite, which is like, so what if she woke up every morning, or a depressed person woke up every morning saying, like, I'm powerless, I can't make anything happen. Mm-hmm. Then the day starts to go badly and they're like, see, there it is. I can't make anything happen, right? Everything's out of my control. And so it's not, the words are important, but they really get their force from the chain of events that sets in motion in terms of, you know, when we talk about a pep talk, the goal of a pep talk is to then get you to do something and to get you to change your behavior. And one thing I will say, and I should be, I may be more embarrassed about this, I have noticed in the pandemic especially, but I kind of do it all the time, I will cheer myself on at points in the day. Like, I will
really?
Say out
loud. Like, what do you say to yourself?
I will say out loud, like, okay, you're doing it. You're doing it. You got it. You got
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. Or, like, sometimes if I'm feeling a little frantic, I'll say out loud, okay, slow down. Slow down. You got this. You got this. And I know I do it literally out loud.
Really?
Yeah. And it's become something I just kind of, I'm just going with it because it does seem to help in the moment. But it's that idea of saying the words that set the behavior down a particular path.
But what do you mean? Like, you're giving yourself a pep talk and I'm saying, oh my God, the dishes aren't done. Oh my gosh, they have no PJs to wear tonight. I haven't done laundry. And then I suddenly feel so overwhelmed because there are all these things that I need to do that I'm looking around and I'm just drowning.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you have to be, you know, like, saccharine, cloyingly, like super, you know, like, oh, yay, dishes. I mean, you don't have to be that way about it. But the framing we use in psychology, or the language we use, is this idea of schema. It's, you know, we always have to come up with a new word in our own vocabulary to just describe basic things like beliefs about the self or beliefs about the world. Mm-hmm. But we use schema to say that. And so what matters, Rena, is the schema that you have built out around the laundry and the dishes. And you can, you know, we all get to vent. But then is your schema, okay, there's a lot of laundry, there's a lot of dishes, I know how to mobilize my team to help me manage this. Or there's a lot of laundry, there's a lot of dishes, oh man, see, I always get left holding the bag. I'm always the one who has to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where you just see, you know, the paths divide. And it goes in two very different directions. And so what's really awesome, like, the mind is awesome. And what's awesome as we think about starting 2021 is to remember that how we think about things can shape our experience. We are not at the mercy of events. They can be bad, but we can think about them in one way or another.
That's powerful. That's really powerful, that in our head we can sort of shape our trajectory just by the positive things that we think. But, you know, obviously it's not easy in this moment. What do you find really works, you know, when you're trying to get that uplift? If you can't think of something fun to do, you know, what else can you do?
For me personally, it's people. When I get grumpy, and I've certainly has, you know, 2020 was for me a very grumpy year compared to most years, and I know I'm not alone in that. When I get grumpy, it's actually talking to someone I like, you know, talking to someone who's a friend or someone who I love. So I've been on a lot more like hopping on the phone, just calling people and checking in. One thing that can feel really corny but is worth considering is to appreciate that what gives everybody a boost is also very individual, very specific to, you know, some people might be like, no, I'm not calling anybody. That's the last thing I would do. I would like go grab a magazine and go get in bed. When we're feeling good, it's not an altogether bad idea to make a list, you know, and just like keep it in your phone.
Yeah.
You know, what are your bumps? Like, what gives you a little extra, you know, kind of lift in your mood? Sometimes for me, I'll like have an extra cup of coffee. And actually, Rena, coffee and mood are very closely connected.
Really?
And what we, totally. Like, I mean, I know there's limits on how much coffee you're supposed to have, but what we see is that in people who drink lots of coffee, their mood tends to be pretty high. And wow. So I will sometimes be like, I don't know, should I do it? Should I do it? Because I can then push into like almost manically frantic in my activity. Yeah. But for me, it's a huge mood boost. So I would actually say that everyone might reflect for a minute, like, what are your mood boosts? And it's, and sometimes it can be small things like lighting a scented candle, you know, that those just can put us in a different place in our minds. And like, make a little list on your phone of like quick mood boosts or longer mood boosts. And sometimes it really is fun to get in bed in the middle of the day with a book, you know, under the covers.
Completely.
Totally fun. So there are still things we can do. Looking at pretty things, right? I mean, there's, it's sometimes beautiful to just go look at websites of images. Yeah. Like, and the reason that it might be worth it to make that little list when you're feeling good is often by the time you're grumpy, it's hard to think of those things.
Ah, so you've got to go to, like, I love matcha lattes.
There you go.
Like, having that to look forward to, I didn't realize until you mentioned it today, that having that is sort of what motivates me throughout the day to get pushed through. But having that little something can really help.
Yep. And you can do it in a pandemic.
And
we can keep going. And so, you know, that's another thing that, you know, might be worth crowdsourcing. Like, what are people doing that gives them a bump? Like, what makes them happy? And we're getting more creative out of sheer necessity at this point. Yeah.
But what about sadness, really quickly? You say they both live together, right? Do you have to also acknowledge that?
Yeah, like we're sad too. We're sad too. And so one way to approach this is to remember that feeling sad about some things and feeling happy about other things can live, they're neighbors. They don't have to, you know, you don't have to choose one. They can live side by side. The other is to remember that the way painful emotions work is that if we let ourselves have them, we tend to work our way through them. And so as we continue to suffer losses in 2021, I think we have to really prepare ourselves for that. Like, as excited as people are about 2021, there's still stuff. I mean, kids' graduations may go out the window. You know, fun spring concerts or something the parents were looking forward to. Like, those things may go out the window. Make space for that sadness, for yourself, for your kid. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Don't try to talk your kid out of it. Don't treat it like pity. Don't, you know, like self-pitying behavior. Treat it as the right feeling at the right time. Set aside time to be sad or allow yourself to be sad. Don't fight the sadness is, I guess, what I would say. You can't, like, do it on a clock, I guess. Mm-hmm. And accept empathy for it. Give empathy for other people's sadness. And really think about it almost like a tunnel that you move through. Like, oh, I just entered the sadness tunnel. Here I am. I'm feeling it. Or here I am. I'm helping my kid feel it. And the feeling it is actually the work of progressing through the tunnel. And I think that image is very different from the one that prevails about painful emotions, where we think like, oh, you're going to get stuck in a pit of despair and someone's got to pull you out. No. You feel the feeling, and presuming otherwise psychological health, right, the absence of depression or something like that, feeling the feeling is actually something that just sort of chugs you along through that tunnel. And having felt it, you come out the other side. Your kid comes out the other side. So be sad. Let your kids be sad. Don't fight it. Work your way through it, and then also schedule something fun to do later.
I love it. And I love the manifestations, because we just celebrated your big 50th birthday in November, and I'm realizing you and J-Lo have something in common. Amazing skin, and in the pandemic, turning the clocks back, and both of you are manifesting.
Well, there we are. But don't tell any of my colleagues in academic psychology that I'm manifesting. I am self-talking. Rena, I'm self-talking.
Self-talking it is. Well, I'm going to keep telling myself 2021 is going to be the best year yet.
Well, there you go. Self-talk all day long, Rena.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. All right, what do you have for four children everywhere?
So we've got the Brain and Behavior Foundation, which is an organization that's committed to mental illness, and it's awarding grants to scientists to help their research. 100% of every dollar goes to their research. So check it out, bbrfoundation.org.
That's perfect for today.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's great to support scientists. So tell me, what do you have for the start of the new year for parenting to go?
Okay, so keeping with this theme that the presence of the negative doesn't have to mean the absence of the positive, what I want everyone to watch out for in themselves and their kids is what psychologists call all or nothing thinking. So we will continue to accrue losses in 2021. And when your kids' spring concert gets canceled. And they're like, oh man, I've been working so hard for that for so long and I can't have it and nothing is good. Give them room to be sad. And then help them come up with something that's second best or good enough. And I think we really have to be open to that idea that just because we can't have it just the way we had in mind doesn't mean we can't do something. And it may not be great, but it could be good enough. And that's what we want to go for as we start to move, hopefully back into life as we remember it, that for a while we're going to have to ride on good enough until we can get back to great.
That is a great way to start the new year. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks so much, Lisa. And for more information on some of the things we talked about in the podcast, be sure to check out our show notes and also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ask Lisa Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa Podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.